Okay, welcome back, fight fans, to your favorite podcast, Fightcasters, presented by the Las Vegas Sun. I am the Las Vegas Sun's boxing and mixed martial arts writer, Brett Okamoto, joined today by my buddy, Ryan Green. Ryan, exciting week of fights ahead of us. First of all, this is the UFC 105 Fightcasters. If you're looking for Pacquiao stuff, head over to our Pacquiao Cotto page. There was another full podcast of me and Ryan talking about everything of that fight. Real briefly, 105, what do you think of the card? How excited are you for it? It's on free TV, so you don't got to pay the money to see it, even though it's in England. You know, how much are you looking forward to this one?
Obviously, it's a card that, you know, doesn't have the fanfare of what people are going to see next week here in Vegas. But, you know, I think this card is perfect because, you know, it's got enough pull that people are going to care about it. But it's also, I mean, this is the kind of card that you would put on free TV, you know? I mean, let's be real. Would you pay $50 at home to watch this? Would you pay, or whatever it is? I mean,
if we're talking maybe 3 years ago when Couture's in his prime, you're probably paying $50 to see this one. But you're right. Couture has lost a little bit of his, you know, he needs to regain it, you know? Right now, mm-hmm. I mean, he's constantly spent the last, I know, and let's say, you know, year, to, even 2 years of his career, you know, proving that age is not a factor. And now,
kind of unsuccessfully.
Well, no, in the past he's done it very successfully. You know, he was a champion over the age of 40. He's 46 now, and he's lost his last two fights. I mean, one of them is against Brock Lesnar, and you can't blame a guy for losing to Brock Lesnar.
No,
and Randy looked good against Brock Lesnar at UFC 91, and then his latest against Nogueira. The thing about the Nogueira fight is that Randy showed that he still got the heart of a warrior. I mean, there were a few different moments in that fight where he should have been done. Everybody thought he was done, and he was able to slip out. Now, while that's 100% respectable and you're going to earn fans that way, I didn't see much offense from Randy. So now the age question gets brought up, and I know that in Portland, I picked Randy to win. I thought he still had all the tools, and I think people were a little too early to say, you know, a 42-year-old fighter can't fight, a 43-year-old fighter can't fight. I guess maybe I'm now falling into a category of, you know, Randy hasn't looked like Randy, especially in taking shots. His chin might be, you know, he seems to go down a little bit easier. So, you know, with that in mind, let's talk about this main event. How do you see it going down between Randy and Brandon?
Well, you know, I mean, I know we talked about it earlier in the week. I would think that you have to give some advantage to Vera here. Just, you know, I mean, for the logistics of it, you know, the younger fighter and like you said, the struggles that Randy's had of late. You know, no, you can't question his heart, but I mean, at the same time, it's not. I mean, 46-year-old Randy Couture, you know, as weird as it sounds to say it, is not 42, 43-year-old Randy Couture, and he's kind of shown that, but. You know, I think, you know, just kind of going back to, I think this is the perfect card for this event because, you know, I think people are still going to tune in and this is, you know, this is an opportunity for the UFC to expand fan base because let's be real, not everybody can afford to get the pay-per-view and all that stuff. And, but you show an event with some fan draw like Randy Couture, like a Michael Bisping on free TV. This is a good move by the UFC, I would say, like PR wise, you know, it's.
Oh, of course, and you know, there's always going to be interest when Randy's fighting. To just the basis of the fight, you're looking at Randy as a favorite, and these lines are coming from the Venetian. Randy is a -150 favorite, which isn't very big, and you're talking about a guy who has been fighting at heavyweight, moving back down to 205, but he seems like comfortable with it, and I think that this is actually Randy's natural fighting weight.
Seems a little better for him.
It does, and he even talked about in interviews this week about how when he was fighting heavyweight, he was actually trying to. It was a struggle to keep his weight up. It was a struggle to get to the weigh-ins at 225-230 pounds. So I think that Randy will benefit from that, and he's fighting the guys that aren't so huge. You know, I mean, his wrestling has kind of it has kept him in fights, but he hasn't been able to dominate fights.
He can actually use it as a weapon at 205. I mean,
exactly.
As opposed to a way to keep him alive. You know,
exactly. So and that's kind of where the people who are on Randy's side, you know, believe they think that Randy's still got it. at least enough to take on a guy like Brandon Vera, who, I mean, as talented as Brandon Vera is, he's not in the same breath as the elite guys in the light heavyweight division right now. So that's kind of the argument for Randy. The argument for Branda is that he is a very creative striker. He likes to mix in kicks. He likes to throw punches. You know, he's got a good rhythm to him, especially when he's on. The question is, will he be on? And we know that Brandon has had struggles in his career keeping focus. He said he got his head grew a little bit bigger when he was fighting in the heavyweight division in the UFC a couple years back. He's 32 now. He says he's on a 5-year plan. That's how he likes to say it. And he I think he said it. He said it best. I mean, this quote kind of like, I was like, yeah, you know, this is exactly what it is. He said, you know, Randy is Randy Couture, and I have the utmost respect for him. That said, when I get in there, he's going to be trying to kill me. I'm trying to kill him. And, you know, I shouldn't say kill, but you know what I mean. And what he said was, you know, it's time to test that chin of Randy's and see what he's got left.
I mean, obviously, you would think it's been, like you said, it's been shown as a weakness in recent fights. And Brandon obviously is a guy who thinks he can get in there and challenge it. I would think that would be the natural plan of attack because, like you said earlier with the wrestling thing, that's something that Randy's going to really be able to use if this fight gets down on the ground. So, I mean, you would have to think that Brandon Vera is wanting to take him out from an upright position.
And it's definitely a quick turnaround for Randy Couture. I mean, he just fought it's a quick turnaround for both of them. They just fought on the 102 card. That was in late August. So you're talking about you got a training camp, you make a fight, you think you're going to have a little bit of time off, and then it's directly back into training camp. Couture sounds all right with it. He says that it actually helped him get down to the 205 weight, and he says camp's been going good. Let's listen to what he said real quick.
Actually, Brandon fought the same night. He fought Szczynski the same night that I fought Nogueira. So we're both turning around. I'm not sure how long it's been since Brandon turned around this quickly, but I haven't turned around this quickly since Tito and Chuck, I don't suppose, which was in, 03, I think. I actually feel good about it. The only thing I had coming out of the Nogueira fight was some stitches in my left eye, and those came out it was my right eye, in about a week. Other than that, I had no injuries and no complaints. Other than I didn't get the W, but other than that, I felt good, and it seemed like the right thing to do. I felt good about going back into camp and getting ready for another fight.
All right, so that is the natural, Randy Couture. All things considered, who are you going with on this one?
I'm taking Brandon Vera. You know, like you said, Randy's lost the last two fights. I want to believe that at 46, you know, I mean, that it can be done. I just want to see it first before predicting it. And you know, if I was a gambling man this weekend, I think out of principle, maybe you take a Brandon Vera just for the value in that price that he's at. I mean, what is it again? He's plus.
He's only plus 120.
Plus 120. I think you get some value out of that too at plus money for a guy who. I mean, I think this fight sounds like more of a coin flip than the odds makers maybe make it out to be.
Yeah, and well, I think it's just a good fight to bet on because I think a lot of people feel strongly one way or the other. You know, it's not a matchup of just sluggers. You know, I mean, you're either going with Vera as the, you know, he's the younger guy, he's the striker guy, he's intelligent, or you're going with Randy who can you know, kind of muscle him out, wrestle him, you know, get him into that clinch where Vera may not be as comfortable. So I think it's a good fight to bet either way you feel. I'm also going to go with Brandon Vera. I hope me and you don't become the latest casualties of, Randy's too old to fight, you know, but...
I go with the trends, my friend. All right? I go with the trends.
I mean, many have made the same statements we're making now and picked against Randy, and he has proved them wrong. But it'll be interesting. You know, at the very least, I think this is a great fight that people should tune into. Also on the card, let's get to the co-main event, Mike Swick versus Dan Hardy. Real quick, your general thoughts on it.
Well, your story on Swick earlier this week was really interesting. They, you know, coming off the concussion and all that stuff. You know, I'm really interested to see how he looks coming off that. That's, that's one of those injuries that you would have to think. You wonder if that's in his head. I mean, I'm not saying literally, but you know, you wonder what it's like coming back from something like that, and being in a sport where it is so violent like this. You know, I mean, it's almost like football players coming back from concussions, and Yeah, you always wonder if guys are going to be the same, and are they more susceptible to it? So, you know, does Dan Hardy take that into consideration in his game planning for Swick? Can he get in there and try to rattle him? I mean, if you're Dan Hardy, you got to think that that's what he's going to want to do, is get in there and try to rattle him. I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I'm not too worried about Swick coming back from the concussion, just for the simple fact that, and I know that concussions can be like this, but he didn't even know he had one. You know, I mean,
most people don't.
He was tripped up by Koscheck, landed on his head. He sparred two rounds after that, and then only found out about the concussion later on. Like you said, that's pretty. It's not completely rare for that to happen, but it doesn't seem like. You know, you brought up the thing of football, and like, let's look at Anquan Boldin that's going over the middle of the field and just gets leveled. He's down on the field forever. It wasn't one of those situations. I think that Swick has been in the game long enough that I don't think that this will affect his mindset. I could be wrong, and it's an interesting point that you bring up. But I expect Swick to be ready, be prepared, to not be gun shy with this. And I think that he's too much for Dan Hardy. And Dan Hardy, you know, you kind of label him as an up and comer, and he's very talented. He's got good strikes. He doesn't have the list of opponents though that you want to see. And this is being kind of billed as a top contender fight. I don't know if Hardy will get the next title shot if he wins. I think Mike Swick definitely will.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you're talking about possibly an eliminator bout for the title. Shot, you know, who has Dan Hardy really fought? He got a split decision over Marcus Davis, who's a good fighter, but it's still a split decision, you know. And
at that point, you take the experience. It's just principle.
Yeah, so I think that Dan Hardy is always good to put on a show, but I haven't seen necessarily the real power from him, the ability to finish off a guy, especially a veteran like Swick. And I think Swick is going to be very motivated for this fight. He lost out an opportunity to fight in his hometown fans. He's from Houston. He was going to fight on the Dallas 103 card. You know, suffered the concussion, couldn't go fight in front of his hometown fans, had to watch Martin Campman lose that fight.
Yeah.
And you got to be thinking in your head, well, man, I could have done that. And then, you know, he'd be fighting GSP next. And now he's got another fight to do before he can get to GSP. And this is a guy who's been fighting for a long time. He's been very successful. He's only fought one championship fight in his entire career. That was against Chris Lieben in 2004 in the WEC. And I mean, this is a guy who's been in the UFC.
He got
long.
Knocked the hell out.
He got knocked out, and he's made sacrifices. He's gone down in weight. He's done it all right, and I think this is just Swick's time. I think he's going to move ahead of Dan Hardy, get the next shot at GSP. Then we'll have to talk about if he can beat GSP. That's
I'd love to
we'll
see
save that
fight,
for yeah. another day. And
plus,
then,
obviously, you know, you got to think you're going to get a lot more interest out of a Swick GSP fight than like you said, it's not even a certainty that Hardy would get a shot, but. I think a Mike Swick GSP fight would. I mean, that's a headlining fight right there. That's. I want to see that.
Yeah, I think so. And when you talk about the welterweight division, who else is there that you'd want to see against GSP? I mean, Anthony Johnson comes to mind, but it's way too early.
Kid needs to take a break already.
Way too early for him to you know, be in the title shot contention. He's definitely on his way, but you don't want to just hand it over to mm-hmm. him. Martin Campman looked like he was ready, and then he was exposed a little bit by Paul Daly in Dallas. So. It is an interesting thing. You know, we thought Thiago Alves was going to give GSP a real run for his money. At least I did. Some people didn't. I did. I kind of thought he was the striker that would maybe put GSP on his heels a little bit, but he didn't. I mean, GSP rolled over Thiago Alves at 100, and he later found out that he was hurt. He tore his abductor, you know? So, I mean, it's going to be hard to find a challenge for GSP. But if Swick does a good job in 105 – to the free televised audience, you know, he may have some believers behind him. And then you get to the third fight, Michael Bisping. What do you think of this guy? Last time we saw him, he was suffering one of the most brutal knockouts and, like, the biggest night of UFC. How do you come back from something like that?
Well, you asked him straight up. I mean, that's boy, I mean, no place better to do it than at home. I mean, you know he's going to go into that arena and you know, feel the love behind him. So, I mean, I think he's got that going for him. But, you know, I mean, I guess just ask you your read on him from talking to him this week. You know, do you feel like he's a guy who, I mean, was he embarrassed by it? Has he really been chomping at the bit? Or, you know, did it shake his confidence? I think that's going to tell you a lot about who he is as a fighter, too.
I think that when something like that happens, your confidence is going to be shaken whether you want to admit it or not, whether you want to even admit it to yourself or not. When you get into the octagon next, I'm not a fighter, so I can't say that for sure, but I just think that if you get knocked out by a guy, the next time you get in the octagon, I mean, there might be a hesitancy, there may be chomping on the bit, like you said, to kind of prove himself too early, and then you get in trouble. So it'll be interesting to see how he comes back. But talking to him, it sounds like he's got his head on right. I mean, right after the fight, he went to his hotel room back in Las Vegas, for UFC 100. This was back in July. He had his girlfriend up there with him. They ordered some drinks. They ordered some food. You know, they talked about the fight very briefly with his team members, and then they went out and they had a good time. And I think that Michael has done something that's been impressive, in that he's really taken measures to put this behind him. I mean, as soon as he got back to Manchester, he actually went on a trip to Malaysia that he had already scheduled with his girlfriend to see his girlfriend's parents. And actually, let's go to a clip from that with my conversation with Michael about that trip.
I was very disappointed, you know. I mean, the next 30 days or so, I came home, and about a week later, we'd planned on going away on holiday. I went to visit my girlfriend's parents, who live in Malaysia. So we went to see them, and that was kind of a good thing to do in a way, because I went off to the other side of the world where no one gives a damn about MMA. I tried to stay off the computer and, you know, not look and see what was going on in the MMA world and listen to the negative stuff that goes on the forums and things like that. So I just went away, had some quality time with my family, completely away from MMA. When I got there, I was kind of feeling sorry for myself a little bit, but by the time I got back, I was fully recharged and ready to get back in the gym and ready to try and take on the world again.
All right, so Michael goes to Malaysia. He stays away from the news. You know, he doesn't listen to anything that anybody says, and then he has a great training camp. As far as I've heard, he's had a great training camp. He's fighting a Canadian, Dennis Kang. He's a seasoned vet, you know, well-rounded, good wrestling skills. Real quickly, your prediction for the fight?
Bisping. He's at home.
I agree with you.
I just don't see it. I think if he loses this one, I think then he's got some real confidence issues. And then I almost think that losing this fight would be tougher to bounce back from than that Henderson fight.
You know what? Michael Bisping is 18-2. His two losses are against Rashad Evans and Dan Henderson. Those are two extremely good fighters.
No shame in either of those. Yeah.
No shame in either of those. Is number three a guy named Dennis Kang? Kang is, don't get me wrong, Kang is very dangerous. This is not just an easy walkthrough comeback fight for Bisping, but I don't see Kang being the guy that takes Michael down again.
No.
All right, and then before we end this, let's go through some of the other fights real quickly before we wrap it up here. If you'd like to see our picks, check out LasVegasSun.com. Go to the UFC 105 page. I make picks against Yahoo.com's Kevin Ioli, ESPN Radio's Steve Cofield.
You're scared of me.
We like to think we know what we're doing. We'll get green in there eventually. You didn't make picks for this one, but here, you get your chance right here. Let's do this real quick. James Wilkes versus Matt Brown. Who do you got?
Matt Brown.
I'm going to go with James Wilkes on that one. You got Ross Pearson, your boy, the one you talked to, facing a veteran, Aaron Riley. Who do you got on that one?
Like I said earlier, you're supposed to go to experience, but I like the home dog, Ross Pearson.
You know, it's one of those things. You go experience or home.
I'm underdogs, man. College football rules.
You know, Riley's had one of those weird careers where it's just kind of off and on. I'm actually going to take Pearson in the upset. Riley is favored in that one. And then you got Paul Taylor versus John Hathaway. You're going to take John Hathaway. I'm also taking John Hathaway. And then you got Terry Eden versus Shannon Guggerty.
Also Shannon.
What? Man, did you look up my picks?
No, actually I didn't. I'm just looking at the back of your laptop right now, boss.
All right. Nick Asabzag versus our Las Vegas owned fighter, Matthew Riddle. Who do you got?
Matthew Riddle.
Riddle also. And then Paul Kelly versus Dennis Siver.
Dennis.
Oh, finally. We disagree on one. You're taking the +70 underdog Siver. I'm going to take Paul Kelly. Alexander Gustafsson versus Jared Heyman.
Jared Heyman.
I'm going to take Gustafsson, and then you have Andre Winner versus Rolando Delgado.
Andre Winner.
And I will take Winner as well. I hope that helps. Hope you guys can pick as many winners as we can. Hopefully, I mean, if you go against us, then it's basically, I mean, me and Ryan agreed on every one. I don't think that ever happened. What did we disagree on? Maybe two or three?
If I were you, I'd go against them.
All right, well, thanks for listening, and check out the Fightcasters on Pacquiao Cotto over at the Pacquiao Cotto page. Thanks a lot.